Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
So today we will be talking about patience. Good morning, afternoon, I guess we're at now. My name's Ryan, I'm on the pastoral team here, and I'm pretty excited to be able to share with you this afternoon. Typically I find myself at the Willoughby campus, so it's a pleasure to be able to be here for the morning. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 4, and so why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to that place. We're going to read from verses 9 to 11. Here's what it says. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. So we step into our series called This is Real Love. Last week, Luke introduced us to the series, and today we take our first step into the topics we're going to be covering throughout this summer. In 1 John here, John insists that we can do the same, that we can love like Jesus does. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. We are not merely recipients. We are carriers and conduits of God's love and life because his Spirit is in us. This is what we want to explore this summer. We're headed into the hows and the whats of everyday transformational love. How is it displayed? What does it really look like? So John tells us to love one another like God loves us. Paul puts some flesh on that, more specifically, in some of his writing. He says this in a letter that he writes to a church that he planted in first century Greece, a spot called Corinth. And that's 1 Corinthians 13, and it's a scripture that many of you will be familiar with. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So, love is patient. The first word that comes into many of our heads is waiting. But waiting doesn't necessarily equate to patience, does it? If you head to the dictionary, it says that patience is waiting without complaint. So that's a good definition, but what does complaint have to do with patience? Another definition I heard was giving the people around you the freedom to be human. I like that definition. Maybe not a good dictionary definition, but I love the heart behind it when it comes to patience. So there's an angle of engagement versus disengagement, or active versus passive that's involved in patience. So maybe patience is this. To be patient is to endure discomfort without complaint. Another way to put this is long-suffering. The Greek word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 13 comes from two words, meaning long-tempered. If you're patient, you're slow to anger. You endure personal wrongs without retaliating. You bear with others' imperfections, their faults, their differences. You give them time to change, room to make mistakes without coming down hard on them. I've learned a thing or two about patience since September. Since then, I've been coaching two soccer teams, my 9-year-old daughter's soccer team and my 7-year-old daughter's soccer team. And these 7 and 8 and 9-year-old girls, they're learning to play soccer. So if you watch sports highlights, which I watch way too many of, you'll see one of the popular highlights right now is when a defender gets the ball and they'll turn and they'll pass it back to their goalkeeper, so that the goalkeeper can make a play. And so the popular highlight that seems to be on so often is when a defender takes the ball, passes it back to their goalkeeper, but their goalkeeper isn't in the right position, and it actually goes in the net. It's hilarious every time. Well, when I'm coaching these girls, this is a regular occurrence. Now, me as a very competitive person, this drives me absolutely nuts. It drives me crazy. But what these girls do not need is a coach that points out every fault that they make and yell at them and go, hey, that's a mistake. Make sure you do better next time. You can't do this with the girls. They completely deflate. Do you know what these girls need? They need love. That's what they're looking for. And so what they're looking for is a coach who, rather than yelling at them for mistakes, yells at them for doing the great things. Way to go, girls. You're doing great. Awesome pass. Good goal. Way to try and make a pass back to your goalkeeper. That was awesome. And it needs a coach that's patient with them and will work on them when they do make mistakes and call them on to play stronger. So love is long-suffering. The word Paul uses indicates having patience with people rather than circumstances. So this calls into play some other virtues that we're going to speak about this summer, such as faithfulness and humility and kindness. That is that patience does not stand on its own. Rather, it is involved with a complex of other attributes. So I want you to think about a time when you've experienced patience in your life. So the best way to do this is to think about a particular skill or talent that you have in your life. Think about something. Maybe this is professional. Maybe this is you play a musical instrument. Maybe this is an athletic endeavor. Everybody, think of something that you're good at, that you have a talent or skill in. Okay? I want you to think now about a time when you were learning this talent or skill. Maybe this was when you were younger and you had a coach or a teacher that was working with you to improve this talent or this skill. Everybody got something in their heads? Okay, now think of a time when you made a mistake. Think of a time when somebody showed patience in the midst of that mistake. I can think of many. I apprenticed as an electrician for a while, and I made lots of mistakes there. And the electricians gently taught me how to do things properly. I remember learning musical instrument, and my teachers were patient with me. I remember in athletics, coaches calling me on to play stronger. I hope you all have a picture of patience in your mind, because when we ask the question, why does patience matter, I think one of the best answers is from our own experience, going, oh, I remember what I needed in that moment was love. Why does patience matter? Well, let's look to the example of Jesus. We think about Jesus with his disciples. Here he's called this group who are fairly common people. There's nothing particularly special about them, but he has called them to follow him, and they've responded to that. But throughout Scripture, we read the Gospels, and we begin to feel frustrated with the disciples at times, right? We read and we go, they're not getting it. But the disciples are having a hard time, even though they're seeing the miracles, they're seeing healing, they're hearing the teaching. They're having a hard time framing Jesus in a way that they can understand so that they can identify who he is. And what does Jesus do in the midst of their misunderstanding and their struggle to put the framework? He doesn't yell, he doesn't rant at them. Rather, he shows them humility and kindness, forgiveness and faithfulness. And he shows them patience. So that's one reason patience matters. Another is that it is our calling as believers. Each one of us was far from Jesus at some point. And we've been made part of his family because of what Jesus did on the cross. And as God's children, which we now are, we are called to live a life worthy of him. One that is characterized by humility, gentleness, and patience. As Christians, we have a rich history in our narrative of patience being shown from God to humanity, from humanity to God, and from humanity to humanity. Think of Noah and the ark. God was patient. Noah was patient. Think of Joseph waiting in prison for years, patiently waited. Think about Job and King David. Think about a shipwrecked Paul. And more relevant to our series that we just did, God in Us, think about the disciples waiting for the promised Spirit as they waited patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. Now, on a side note, there's also a rich history in our narrative of impatience being shown from humanity to God and humanity to humanity. But Psalm 103 says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love." It is in the very character of God to be patient. Patience also matters because it builds healthy relationships. Our impatience can hurt others and close off dialogue. Responding calmly gives room for the other person to confess wrongdoing, explain their attitude, and make changes. When the Corinthian church first read Paul's letter, they must have cringed when they read the words right off the bat, "Love is patient," because it was clear that they were struggling with what God required of them regarding long-suffering. As Luke mentioned last week, the Corinthians were finding it difficult to wait for those who could not arrive before they started to eat the meal at the church's gathering. Paul had to command them to wait for one another. Had love been present in Corinth, it would have prompted them to wait. This is what Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, "But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent I believe it. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together." He doesn't mince words, does he? He wants them to wait. He wants them to bring glory to God by showing patience, because it's tied to love. We get another picture of the Corinthian church and their impatience in 1 Corinthians 6. It seems to be that when one Corinthian Christian irritated another, the response seemed to be, "I'll see you in court." This is not patience. It's not patience with one another. It's certainly not patience in God's work in each other. The Corinthians needed patience. Their actions of improperly taking the Lord's Supper was partly the result of impatience. Their actions of taking each other to court and their arguments regarding spiritual gifts were likewise partly attributable to their lack of patience. Proverbs 14 says, "People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness." So why is it important in love? Well, Romans 15 says, "May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus." Misfortunes in our lives are designed to build virtue in us. And among the virtues gained through difficulty is patience. That family member or work associate who annoys you is God's gift to you to build your patience. With Katrina coming onto our team, she's going to experience both that family member and work associate who annoys her, and she's going to have to learn to be patient with me. Maybe you happen to be an English soccer fan, David. God's building your patience. If you're stuck with a job you don't like and you can't find any other work, then God is building your patience. Each nuisance, long wait, and affliction, every mosquito bite, traffic jam, and body ache in the life of the Christian raises our threshold of tolerance ever so much. Even tedious sermons can make you a more patient person. Amen? So through the daily grind, the Christian grows morally, improving in virtue through various experience that we might not even consider morally relevant, much less significant. But we who affirm the sovereignty of God shouldn't be surprised by this moral growth through even incidentals. For we believe that God is always at work in the details, moving always to bring us into closer conformity to his image. So how do we become patient people? We need to realize that patience or impatience is usually directed at someone. It's either at others, yourself, or at God. Sometimes our patience is human-directed. Waiting your turn in line or in traffic certainly demands patience. Waiting for a teenager to mature can require an extraordinary amount of patience. I'm about to get to that stage, and I'm not really looking forward to it. In any case, whether a stranger is in your way or your coworker is pestering you or your teenager is going through a period of acute self-righteousness, you must endure discomfort because of other people. But even more challenging at times is patience that is God-directed. In every Christian's life, there comes a time when one must wait upon God. Sometimes we must wait for a need to be met, such as finding a job. Other times we must wait for the satisfaction of a significant desire, like finding a spouse or conceiving a child. At other times, we wait for God to fulfill a promise, to comfort during a trial, or to give us assurance of our forgiveness for some sin. In these cases, we must be patient with God. But patience is difficult in both the cases. So a natural response is all human beings are sinners and therefore selfish and really annoying. But a psychological explanation also helps explain this. It concerns what many would call the egocentric predicament, which is the natural human condition of being immediately aware only of one's own thoughts and feelings. When standing in line or waiting in traffic, for example, all the people who are waiting are equally as worthy to get what they wait for or to arrive at their destination, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. I know, however, only my own thoughts and am intimately aware of only my own needs, which naturally inclines me to put myself first. The result is frustration that I'm not first, and this strongly tempts me to be impatient. The second reason why patience is such a challenge is that none of us struggle with precisely the same temptations as do other people. Nor are our particular strengths and weaknesses the same as those of others. So one person is even-tempered, and they can't understand why their friend always flies off the handle. But their other friend, who has a temper, can't understand why their even-tempered friend is continually late for every single meeting that they go to. I know, I've just explained half the marriages in the room, right? And those two can't understand why a third friend has a tendency to interrupt conversation all the time. It's quite a predicament we're in. Patience with God is also challenging. The explanation boils down to, again, our tendency to see things only from our own point of view. It's a challenge because sometimes it's not all that clear whether it is God we're waiting for or whether we should even wait on him at all. And most difficult of all, there's no guarantee that God will indeed act to satisfy our desires. Most situations that demand patience aren't in regard to specific promises of God. Although he has told us he will meet all of our needs, he hasn't guaranteed that he will meet all of our desires, even significant ones, that they'll be satisfied. Here someone might note the biblical promise that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's a beautiful promise that God gives us. This, however, is not a promise that all of our present desires will be fulfilled in a way that we want them to be. Sometimes they are. But often God keeps his promise by adjusting our desires to bring them into line with his will. Second Peter says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think, and as all of us have thought. No, he is being patient for your sake. I read an interesting story about a man who had developed patience to a much greater extent than I have. During the late 1500s, a man named Dr. Thomas Cooper edited a dictionary. Now, let's stop and pause. That in itself requires patience, just editing a dictionary. People actually do that. So Dr. Thomas Cooper edited a dictionary with the addition of 33,000 words and made many other improvements. He had already been collecting materials for 8 years when his wife, and this is in the notes, when his wife, a rather difficult woman, I love that, went into his study one day while he was gone, and now she did this because she loved him, okay? Went into his study one day while he was gone and burned all of his notes under the pretense of fearing that he would kill himself with study. Wow. 8 years of work, a pile of ashes. So Dr. Cooper comes home, and he sees the destruction, and he asks who had done it. And his wife, may I remind you, a rather difficult woman, told him boldly that she had done it. And Dr. Cooper, a patient man, he heaves what I'm sure was a very deep sigh. And he said, oh, thou hast given a world of trouble. No kidding. And then, because he loved his wife, he quietly sat down to another 8 years of hard labor to replace the notes that she had destroyed. So, next time you think that you have arrived at being patient, you can think of Dr. Cooper, and he will give you another goal to aim for. Galatians chapter 6 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Ephesians 4 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So let's remember that patience is an outflowing of what is going on inside. So, focus on love. Remember what really matters. It's easy to get focused on that thing that's right in front of us and it gets us all flustered. But we need to take a breath or two, count to 10 or 100, and look at the bigger picture. Remember what really matters, and that is that we're called to love. We need to talk to someone. You know, we have those 50 life groups at Living Waters for a reason. We have Christian community for a reason. We need to talk to somebody who's going to remind us of our calling to continue to do good, to love. It's what we're called to do. And we need to pray. Remember that patience is of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit's work in our lives. And so we need to rely on the work of the Spirit. So pray, ask the Spirit to come into your life and to mold you to become more like Christ, and patience will be a natural outflow of that. So over the summer, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of attributes of love. And those tie into patience quite heavily. So be humble and be decent. Apologize when you've been impatient. Be faithful. Find a way to break the negative patterns of impatience in your life. Be kind. Replace your impatient behavior with patient behavior. It's going to change everybody's life around you. That's kindness in action. Be true. Realize that impatience does not change the situation that you're in. Be forgiving. Focus on the solution and not the problem. Remember Dr. Cooper. and find a solution. Don't focus on the problem. Remember that patience is of the Spirit, and we are a people of the Spirit. Each of us has experienced God's patience in our lives, and therefore we've experienced God's love in our life as well. So, as John writes, since God loved us that much, since he was so patient with us, surely we ought to be patient and love one another. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as a community, and we say, Lord, would you develop patience in our lives? Lord, we recognize that you have called us to love. And part of loving is being patient. And so, Lord, over these coming weeks and over the next month, and Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit? And Lord, would you help us to be patient with those around us, with those in our own homes, those in our workplaces, those in our schools? Help us to be patient, Lord, and to reflect your love to them through our actions of simply being patient with them. So, Lord, would you do that in our lives this week and this month? Help us to be a patient people that reveal who are a conduit of your love into this world. In your name, amen. Amen. So, have a wonderful, hopefully short work week, and remember to celebrate our wonderful nation this week. And come ready to celebrate next Sunday as Reuben comes to speak on kindness, and we're going to follow that after this gathering with a barbecue over in Fort Langley Park. We'll see you then. God bless.